From NPR, it's Latino USA.
I didn't want to live with this mask, you know, for the rest of my life.
Every year, tens of thousands of undocumented students graduate from American high schools, only to hit a wall. These students aren't eligible for government aid for college, and they can't legally work. It's a tough situation for many kids, but today, we meet one young man determined to succeed despite his undocumented status.
The thing that I struggle with is, why can't I be normal? It's just like, oh, because I can't work. I'm undocumented. I can't offer much. I have talent, but without a lot of money, I can't go very far.
Stay with us as we conclude an encore edition of our documentary series, American Dreamer, Sam's Story. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
From the Latino USA News Desk, I'm Katie Davis with some stories that caught our ears this week.
La enmienda pasa por unanimidad, dio la moción.
School is back in session in Puerto Rico. A two-month-long student strike at the university was negotiated and then approved in a student assembly. Students want an agreement from the university that they will not face drastic budget cuts. This included a promise that no fee increase will be imposed in the next year, and students will not be punished for taking part in the strike.
Los costos de matrícula, la disposición de despidos de empleados reducidos.
Later in the summer, we'll bring you a special report from the island, a collaboration between Latino USA and the BBC. Maria Hinojosa and our team are there right now. Look at a map of the country. More and more communities are planning or passing restrictive immigration rules and laws. The town of Fremont, Nebraska, is just the latest to do so. They approved a ban on renting to people who cannot prove their citizenship. Fremont has seen a surge of Latino immigrants, both documented and undocumented, working at the meatpacking plants in the town. The ACLU says it will try to block the new measure. And in Mexico, people are wondering who will challenge the status quo after the sharp-penned writer Carlos Monsiváis died on June 19th. If you wanted to know what was going on in Mexico, you read Carlos Monsiváis, or Monsi as he was called. He was a cronista, a storyteller of the best kind. He knew the gritty, the good, and the bad of his city and country. Carlos Monsiváis captured the voices of the student movement in 1968 and the massacre that silenced it. In 1985, after the earthquake in Mexico, it was Carlos Monsiváis who told the stories of how regular people rescued their neighbors and of how the government was mostly absent. His friend, writer Elena Poniatowska, said at his wake that Monsiváis was the most lucid antidote to abuses of power. And another farewell, this one to Portuguese writer José Saramago. As you may know, the Nobel Prize winner recently died at the age of 87, and we wanted to pause and remember him. José Saramago was born to peasants in rural Portugal, and he became a committed communist and atheist, and that angered many. But Saramago was many things, and mostly a man with a fantastic imagination. In one novel, he invented a city where all the inhabitants were blind. In another, he wrote about what happened when a piece of the Iberian Peninsula broke off from Europe and became a floating island. And in Baltasar and Blimunda, Saramago told the story of a priest who invented a flying machine and took his friends soaring in the skies. Many complained that the writer was dense and hard to follow, and that is true. He wrote long, unruly, run-on sentences, not a period in sight. José Saramago said, "Read my work aloud. It is the written version of how people tell stories to each other." So we offer now an excerpt of the story of the priest and the flying machine as he set sail with his friends.
They were not afraid. They were simply astounded at their own daring. The priest laughed and shouted. He had already abandoned the safety of the handrail and was running back and forth across the deck of the machine in order to catch a glimpse of the land below. North, south, east, and west. The earth looked so vast now that they were so far away from it. Baltazar and Blimunda finally scrambled to their feet, nervously holding on to the cords, then to the handrail, dazed by the light and the wind, suddenly no longer frightened. Ah, and Baltazar shouted, "We've done it!" He embraced Blimunda and burst into tears. He was like a lost child, this soldier who had been to war, who had killed a man at Pagois with his spike, and was now weeping for joy as he clung to Blimunda, who kissed his dirty face.
Visit us anytime online at latinousa.org or follow us on Twitter for news updates on your mobile devices. We're LatinoUSA, all one word. I'm Katie Davis in Washington.
It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Last week, we began an encore edition of American Dreamer, Sam's Story. Today, the conclusion. On last week's show, we heard that Sam graduated from high school with honors, but because of his undocumented status, he can't legally work, he's not eligible for government student loans or grants, so he had to settle for attending a satellite campus of the University of Indiana. His family, though, managed to raise enough money for Sam to at least start classes as a music performance major. Sam plays the saxophone, but with no guarantee that he'll be able to pay for his entire first semester. Here now is the conclusion of American Dreamer, Sam's Story, produced by Dan Collison and Elizabeth Meister for Long Haul Productions.
A flat is B flat. C is D.
Oh.
It's my second day of classes here at IUSB, otherwise known as Indiana University of South Bend.
Do you need a moment to work out the riff?
I got it.
Okay, cool.
Dude, I had like no clue what I was doing at first.
One more time. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
This is going to be sweet. And once I get the theory down, it's going to be even cooler because I'll understand what's actually going on, you know, what does what. This will give me the tools to go on further in my pursuit of, I guess you could say, happiness. We're at my first paying gig, I guess you could say. It's at Fly Traps, a restaurant here in the hometown, and we're playing at a fundraiser.
Yes, we've had hard times, and we've got a long way to go, but our aim is to make sure that there is world-class arts expression here.
This looks like, you know, really kind of high class. People walking around, talking, a little champagne, a little wine, checking out some art. I'm gonna get 50 bucks out of this, so not bad for just 2 hours. I mean, for doing something I like, hey, I like this. So here I am at this gig, but none of these people here know that I'm undocumented. I'm not legally supposed to be here. None of my band members know. None of my professors know. Not even my closest friends know. Up until now. Right now, we are at the Daily Grind. I'm about to tell Carly, a really, really good friend of mine from high school. I guess I could say who I am, really.
Hey!
Hey.
When you carry something like this on your shoulders, it bugs you every day. This isn't one thing that you bury for a long time. No, this is stuck with you until something changes.
Okay. This isn't easy for me, but, you know, whatever.
It's like a secret that you want to tell, but you're afraid to tell because you're not sure if the people will accept you or deny you.
I hate even saying it. Like, I'm an undocumented kid, basically. I came here when I was young, like 5, 4-ish. And, like, we've tried to get right ever since, but it hasn't worked. Can't have a job, can't have a license, can't have a bank account. Can't really go to school with help. Had to pay it out of my own pocket. So, yeah. I mean, I understand if you're weirded out and you want to get a friendly right now.
Well, Sam, I hate to break it to you, but I don't think any less of you because of it. I'm so proud of you. I mean, how could you? I can't imagine going in your shoes. Like, I don't think it's sunk in yet, to be completely honest. I mean, because I was like, why isn't he going to this some great college or whatever? And his SAT scores couldn't have been that bad. And looking back, I guess I should have put it together, but I don't know. I guess I take everything for granted.
My name's Derek McBride. He told me about 2 weeks ago about his status as far as citizenship.
I think he took off his glass and he just kind of just like held his head and he's like, what?
It didn't change a thing, like the way I felt about him as a person or who he was or whatever. It was just like thinking about the implications of what that means for him.
And I could tell he was thinking, because he came up with a question. He's like, so
what do you do if you have to go to the doctor? What happens if you're driving and you get pulled over? Like, what would happen? And I was like scared. It almost felt like I could lose this guy at any time. You know, so I almost started to feel like really selfish, like, and I wanted to protect him and just keep him around as long as I could.
So where are we headed?
Okay, on Mishawaka, you're going to take a left.
Okay.
I just never realized how strong he is as a person to have to deal with these things. And I just will give him rides endlessly for all time if it means that he's going to remain here and, you know, thrive.
Okay. Turn right here and see if there's, like, any spots right there. Right now we're going to a Mexican restaurant, see if there's anything I could do for them, you know. Wish me luck.
Jobs are a necessity, you know, to keep yourself alive, basically. Now that I'm by myself, Dad's giving me $30 a week spending money. So I'm trying to cut corners here and there. I'm not eating as much.
Okay, so he gave me an application, but questionable things are on here. Like social security number, if you are 18 years of age, can you provide a work permit? Of course not. Are you a citizen of the United States? Of course not. I wish I was. If not, are you legally allowed to work in the United States? Nope. So I don't know about this. It almost seems like my options are dwindling.
He could probably get a car, you know, if he get a fake license, and he could get a job, and he could survive, but that's not who he is. I mean, he wants to do the right thing. I mean, I just feel like he's a citizen just like everybody else, and the only thing that's holding him back is, you know, some paperwork.
Hey, let's sing it.
I really like my classes, you know.
Some nice voices in here.
But sometimes I worry that I won't have enough money to stay in school.
And work on the next 3 chapters in your books.
I saw how much stuff I needed to buy. My lessons teacher, she says, well, you need to buy this book and this book and this book, and you need to buy this tuner, this metronome. And I started thinking, wow, this isn't my saxophone. I need a saxophone. Just the whole money problem just freaks, you know, me out. And then Friday happened, and I started thinking differently. What happened was, I was in performance lab, and this piano player comes up. The piece turns out to be like 23 minutes, all memorized, and the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. She hit this chord and physically my chest went warm. I was like, whoa. And it kind of gave me that funny feeling in my stomach and those butterflies and everything that everybody gets once they fall in love with something. I just smiled and closed my eyes and then was just really, really happy for a second. And it hasn't been something I felt for a long, long, long time. And if I could make someone feel what she made me feel, I think it's a reason to keep playing. I mean, it was just the jumpstart I needed. Mm-hmm.
This is really, really awesome. In 5 days, I'll be headed to New York to play for this organization called College Board. It's an organization that pretty much deals with SATs and stuff like that, you know. And they've asked me to play the national anthem for them. It's a little weird to be asked to play the national anthem of a country that I'm not really of, I guess you could say. When the Star Spangled Banner is playing, I still put my hand over my heart because I take this country as my own. I just want to be recognized as an American because that's what I feel like I am.
Get started now.
Thank you. We're at the Hilton Hotel here in New York City.
My name is Madi Sullivan, and I have been working on the College Board's advocacy efforts in support of undocumented students and the DREAM Act.
I've also been asked to tell my story at a panel about the DREAM Act. That piece of legislation would basically allow students like me to gain citizenship.
Today I was talking to one of my colleagues, and I said, you know, Sam started off in Indiana on Monday driving here. And my friend said, "But you're too cheap to fly him here." And I had to say, no, he isn't able to fly as a result of not having the ID. That's one of the realities. It's little things. It's also big things, like money, access, a sense that there really is a future in education.
It was really scary. One of the first things that popped in my head is, wow, these are like serious people, like professors and really important people. I better not mess this up.
As many of you may know, my name is Sam. You know, growing up, we were warned about a lot of things. You know, don't talk to strangers, don't get in a ice cream van with a weird guy. But also, we had the whole don't tell anyone, you know, what's going on.
Speaking publicly about this, for me, it wasn't the easiest thing to do because I guess I was outing myself. It's always been, keep that to yourself. Don't tell anybody because they could turn us in. They could take everything away from us.
I feel like we are a shadow society, I guess. Always hiding, always fearful of being deported. And for me, coming here was a big risk to me because it could affect my family. I love this country very, very much. And I feel like if I were to gain legal status, I could chase my dream of being a musician.
It was the first time in my life I've ever felt safe talking about this in public. I've never done it before, but it felt really nice. You know, everyone seemed really supportive and stuff, and I met some really cool people that are trying and to do stuff for us.
What's something that I could do? Like,
continue to educate people about your story.
That's Alfred Herrera. He's the assistant vice provost at UCLA. And he's worked on the behalf of a lot of undocumented students for the past 30 years, so he's a pretty important guy.
You need to make sure that people understand that this is a human issue. It's about educating the best and the brightest students. And we need to separate it out from immigration because it's not about immigration. It's about educating people like you who came here when they were young and have done everything possible to contribute to our society, and now they're being held back.
So I'd like to thank everyone for supporting the DREAM Act and supporting undocumented students, and just seriously thank you, and all your support really means a lot, and I hope this dream keeps going.
Sam's story, American Dreamer, continues in a minute. Stay with us.
Hay que despertarse, hay que ponerse a pensar. Avanza porque si para no vas a llegar. Muévete paso a paso con ritmo natural. Todo siempre cambia, nada se queda igual.
It's Latino USA. I'm María Hinojosa. We continue now with American dreamer Sam's story as Sam performs at the opening ceremony for the College Board Conference in New York City.
I thought it was going to be 5 minutes-ish, but it ended up being more like 15, almost 20 minutes, actually. I didn't have any water or anything, and just the people walking in, the huge room, the lights, the cameras, you know, the flash, everything. I kind of got cotton-mouthed, you know, that dry nastiness in my mouth. And then I thought I was going to have a little rest and a little time to get water or something. But no, I hit the last, bump, like the last C. And I started walking off stage and then...
Please rise for the national anthem performed by Sam, an honor student and recipient of the Woody Herman Outstanding Jazz Award from Indiana.
And in my head, I thought, holy crap, I forgot about that. This is so fast. While I was practicing, I remember thinking, I have to be careful with this because for some reason Bertha, my saxophone, likes to mess with me and she doesn't like to give me the notes sometimes, so I had to force it. So when I punch it, and the home of the... Seriously, it sounded like you put a cat in a grinder. It was god-awful. Damn, that sucked. For a second, I thought, I'm in way over my head. Man, they're not going to want me to play again. But thankfully, I played again the following night. And I think I did pretty well on that one. So I'm pretty happy with that performance. The next day, I was back at the College Board Conference for one last panel.
I'm JP, and I'm 23.
JP was the other undocumented student on the panel with me.
I found out I was undocumented when I was 14 years old.
She got her bachelor's and her master's, but she can't use it because she's not documented.
Right now, I'm working as a nanny for a family on the Upper West Side, and as grateful as I am to have a job, period, in this economy, I can't help but wish every day that I could use my degree.
One of the first things I thought when I heard JP's story was, wow, why should I keep going if that's just going to be me?
It's sad. I sit next to Sam, and I'm 6 years older, and he's just starting what, you know, I went through. And I think that's what's so tragic. It's been 6 years and still nothing. I'm still in the same spot.
I got terrified. Because I thought, man, I'm not going to be able to move forward.
We've come to the end of our time, and I don't want to hold you up, but...
Right after my panel, I had to go perform. I was trying to get out, and then this woman came up to me, and she said...
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
It's very nice to meet you. I run a scholarship program for first-generation students. I got an email this morning that I have a little balance, so I wonder if you're interested in a scholarship.
And she just comes up and says, I would like to help by giving you $2,000, and it was just completely left field, but in my favor.
Yeah, we're pretty much out of money, so... This is definitely going to be a great help.
So, this is my card. Do not lose it.
All right, well, I won't. The $2,000 scholarship basically means that I can finish the semester at least. Oh, it's such a relief. I'm really, really excited. I'm so happy right now. Woo!
We're now on our way to the Statue of Liberty at Liberty Island.
That was a really, really neat experience because... You know, visually, I didn't expect the Statue of Liberty to be that huge.
I'm Cynthia Marcucci, and I'm so pleased to be your guide today.
During the audio tour, I realized how many people, like, really sacrificed a lot, you know, to come here.
I'm holding one of the most precious things I'll ever have. It's a piece of thin cardboard, about 4 by 5 inches, with the words inspection card at the top. It says that Nicoletta Puzo had been passed by the Immigration Bureau and was permitted to enter the United States of America through the port of New York. She was 6 years old.
I think what we have in common is we just want the same thing, only in a different time period. We all just want the chance to live to our fullest potential. We're all looking for a better life for our families and our future generations.
Nicoletta was my grandmother. And for millions of families like ours, the statue was and is a powerful symbol of freedom and opportunity.
It's pretty humbling, actually. It just represents so much that I want to someday have. Hopefully my kids will be able to have, you know, that freedom. But we'll wait.
American Dreamer, Sam Story, was produced by Dan Collison and Elizabeth Meister for Long Haul Productions. CDs of the entire documentary series are available for purchase. To find out more, visit us at latinousa.org/Sam. And for this week, that's Latino USA. You can stay connected to news and culture throughout the week. Visit us online at latinousa.org or follow us on Twitter, where we are Latino USA, all one word. The program comes to you from the Futuro Media Group, online at futuromediagroup.org, in association with KUT Austin. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next week for another edition of NPR's Latino USA.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from Ann and John Herman, supporting the Breakthrough Collaborative, involving middle school students in learning and older students in teaching, at breakthroughcollaborative.org. And from Lumber Liquidators, whose flooring includes pre-finish and stained solid hardwoods, bamboo, cork, and laminates. Information at lumberliquidators.com. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. Information at macfound.org. This is NPR.